Welcome to the Oceanic Community Services District meeting on April 13th. Celia, can I ask you for a roll call vote tonight?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn? Director Guerrero? Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. We're short a couple directors tonight, but we do have a quorum, and so we're going to move through the agenda. Blakeslip.
Attention, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's get my son in there. Okay. Is there any changes, modifications, critiques, micromanaging of the agenda? Okay. Can we have a motion to accept the agenda?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Passes. All right. Let's do some public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Ms. Tacker. Good evening.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I really just had some questions for your board. Maybe your staff knows the answers. There's been two things that I've learned that were not reflected in any minutes over the last several months. Things that happened in closed session, I believe, that probably should have been reported out. First, that being the settlement agreement with Marie McGrath, and then the dismissal, or maybe the man quit, of Henry Weinstock, your legal counsel related to water. I don't know when you were going to tell the public and what you're going to, I mean, I guess you've already decided what you've going to do about that, but about both items. The other thing, yesterday's Board of Supervisors had a lengthy discussion related to CDBG funds, and I thought there was something analogous to what's going on here in Oceano, and I don't know if it's going to affect the Highway 1 and 13th Street drainage project, but it appears the county was somewhat scolded for using CDBG funds for some curb and gutter someplace, and I don't know if it was Oceano or anywhere else in the county, but the Department of Housing didn't like that and didn't like that their funds that are intended to really help people and fund housing went to this curb and gutter infrastructure. And it got me thinking about that project and that there's $600,000 in CDBG funds allocated to this Highway 1 and 13th Street project. And is that really the best use of those types of funds when you do have a disadvantaged community and other, certainly other very important needs that could be addressed with that much money? And then just also because of that project, I got to thinking about status of a revitalization. And while you may have had an Oceano Community Oceano Advisory Council meeting about it recently, it wasn't televised, and I would think that a more thorough report could be had in these chambers at one of your board meetings, giving a status update of that project. And then I'll just put a plug in that I've always thought, you know, charity begins at home. If you could do something with your old fire station on the corner, if you revitalized that, you would set the tone for the rest of the neighborhood, and even a fresh coat of paint would make a big difference.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Do you want to address any of those two points at this time? I think that.
Madam President, I can address one. Obviously, items out of closed session, legal counsel and I will need to address separately. But with respect to the CDBG funding specifically, HUD did question the county's allocation of CDBG money for the Highway 1 project. And the county went through quite an extensive effort with HUD in order to confirm at the end of the day that that was eligible for that particular project. We're currently in discussion with the county regarding waterline relocations that might be required with that project at our potential expense. So the project has a number of different issues that are going on, but I know that the CDBG and the HUD eligibility has been addressed by HUD and is allowable.
Yeah, that was my understanding too. Thank you. That was very helpful. Mr. Jeffrey?
Yes. Thank you, President Lucy. Directors of the board, in regards to the issues with closed session, I do recall the out of a closed session, there was no reportable action, but direction to staff in regards to Ms. McGrath. In regards to Mr. Weinstock, I believe we did in fact report that out after closed session to switch the legal counsel from Mr. Weinstock to myself handling it, but we'll go back and check the record on that.
Okay, great. Thanks. I appreciate it. I thought that I remember something to that effect as well, but we'll double check and make sure that the records are accurate and fully reflective of everything. Okay, moving right along. Tony, we love your department. All of them.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. All right, we have 18 work orders, 11 USAs, 12 customer service calls, three call-outs. One was for a sewer lateral backup, and two were for, another one was for turning on water after hours that was currently locked off. And the third one was for, they needed their water shut off for an emergency. All right, we cleaned the lift station. We verified an irrigation meter list, and there were some discrepancies on that for billing. We had a few residents that had irrigation meters that should have been getting billed for residential meters. We got all that corrected and fixed. I verified a list from the County of San Luis regarding the paving project. We had to verify all our manholes and valve covers prior to them paving. Placed about 25 meters, had to raise about half of the meter boxes in there. State reporting was completed. We got a line extension for the sewer main on 22nd and Beach that's getting extended for future development currently. Did quite a bit of sewer jetting, valve turning. Completed well 5, and I'll go over a slideshow with you here shortly. For our allocations of water deliveries year to date, State Waters delivers 147 acre feet. We've only pumped 0.21 acre feet due to samples only. We had zero SSOs last month, and Lopez is currently at 14,648 acre feet, which is 29.7% full. Now what I'm going to present to you is a quick slideshow regarding Well 5.
Tony, I want to commend you for, you know, virtually stopping the ground pumping and utilizing the resources you have. It's been very wise because every bit needs to stay down there or be added. So thank you very much for that.
Absolutely, thank you. We're not predicting on pumping anytime soon.
Yeah.
As long as we're communicating with Lopez for the turnout, everything's looking good right now.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yes.
A lot of jurisdictions don't have that flexibility to be able to shut down a high-risk, you know, source. So thank you, Pablo, and thank you, Tony, a lot.
So here's Well 5. This is the earliest photo that we got. We already excavated all the piping and already took down, what is it, the exhaust. There was an exterior exhaust that actually caught the building on fire. Since we excavated for all the piping, we actually got a great map of the piping at the yard developed for us, because there was no as-builds, no nothing for us. So we got to hand dig and get a great map out of it. So right here's the Waukesha that's going to be surplus. It's the old motor that ran well 5. It's quite dated.
How dated?
I was told about right around the 50s. It's a natural gas motor.
Lived a long life.
Pretty much. So the wellhouse being demoed currently. Taking it down with the backhoe. And here's the pad after the wellhouse was demoed. As you can see, the Waukesha has already been removed. We just got to disconnect the rest of the piping so we can demo the pad now. Some of the piping getting removed. And this is the well itself, the column tube and shaft that got removed. We had to actually cut that into about 6-foot sections so we could remove it. And it's just under 2.5 tons of steel that we got rid of. We actually had to rent an excavator with a breaker bar with a breaker on it due to the fact the pad's thickness. And the concrete that was removed was just over 22 tons of concrete that we had to remove out of there. The vault went down 6 feet, so we had to excavate around it to get the vault out, the concrete vault. And right there is everything demoed, gone. We just benched and sloped the area so we could get down in there and fill the casing with pea gravel and to be able to concrete it in. So we had a few of these that went off site because it was 22 tons. And the pea gravel was 5 tons that had to be hand shoveled, all of it. So we just kind of created a chute so we can do one shovel at a time and go down and into the well casing. And the pea gravel, it just, there's no voids. It just fills up nice and neat, one shovel at a time. Here's the concrete, 6-sack slurry, 2.5 yards going in there to fill up the last 50 feet of the casing with the county inspector on site. And that's it. It's a completely abandoned or deconstructed, decommissioned. And then backfilling to grade because that was 6 feet below grade. And there it is. Quick and easy. Now we spent the staff hours was just under 250 hours for myself and the other two. The contractor's cost was just over $10,000. We got reimbursed with a check just over $18,000 for all the work that was done. Wow. So if you take the contractors from the $18,000, the remainder, roughly $8,000, covered our wages for the just under 250 hours.
Good job, Mr. Ogan.
Good job, Mr. Maricino. And on the contractor work, that last little bit where the concrete was being poured in was done by a licensed contractor?
Yeah, we had to have a C-57 licensed contractor to abandon this well.
Wow.
And how I mentioned earlier, that whole project of abandoning the well would be anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 if it would have got subbed out. But he was $1,200 just for the permitting process and his paperwork, get everything signed up, get the county inspector out there, and we took care of the rest of it.
Wow, that's great. I feel like, you know, kind of saying goodbye or something to the well. Was that our first well here?
No.
You know, I would have to check the dates of the other ones, but it was from the 50s.
Yeah. I'm guessing that it was our fifth well.
Oh.
That's why we're well number 5. Yeah. Just guessing.
They might have been counting backwards.
Tony, who shoveled the most?
Myself and Jason, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I was wondering. The other individual was out sick.
He should buy you dinner.
Absolutely.
Didn't have to go to the gym that night, did you?
Not at all.
Question. What are you going to do with that piece of property now?
It's just part of the water yard. So off to the right of the photo as we are looking there, I'm not exactly sure what's exactly to the right, but our storage tanks are Immediately it's adjacent.
Right there.
Yeah. Right next to it, you have a 300,000-gallon tank.
Okay.
Enough room for another 300,000-gallon tank?
Definitely try.
Just
tall, skinny one. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about it, or anything else you'd like to inform us about?
No, I pretty much covered everything.
Going to put ground cover on it? On the
casing itself?
No, on the dirt. Ground cover on the dirt to contain it, or does it wash away?
The rest of the yard's dirt, so maybe in the future we can pave it and put some parking. You know, a lot of ideas.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Karen, did you want to do a report on the fire authority?
We're meeting this Friday.
Okay.
At the Grover City Hall from 10 until noon.
All right.
And the only real exciting thing was the package, and I'm not quite sure where the address was. It was on the news, where one of the delivery services delivered a package to this guy, and he opened it, wasn't what he expected, and had white powder in it. And so everybody got called, the FBI, I think it was a Federal Express delivery or something. And actually, he called the police called the fire department, and the fire department stood by for numerous hours. So, but there really was nothing. And they determined, they didn't know what it was, but they determined it wasn't hazardous. And that was last Sunday afternoon event.
Okay. Thank you. Lori, do you have anything to report on tonight?
No, not tonight.
Okay.
Been pretty quiet.
Mr. Ogren.
Nothing to report tonight.
Okay. So, Karen, do you have any committee reports besides the fire?
I was unable to go to Zone 11A this month due to
life.
Due to a son's doctor's appointment.
Okay. I attended the sanitation district's meeting on April 6th. I thought it was a turning point for the sanitation district. I think they're getting on track. I think organizationally things are starting to mend, and the agenda was great. They had a long, lengthy discussion again regarding putting sewer charges on the tax rolls. Originally, it had been proposed by staff that Oceano be sent to the tax rolls, and with strong encouragement, we wanted to see the other two entities, Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, benefit as well. So so the board directed staff to carry out what they had already asked them to do. The new executive director was hired, which is a great time and desperately needed, considering that we have a very, very large water reclamation project that is planned for sometime in the future for that plant. So to bring on full-time staff is only appropriate with the scope of work that sanitation district is facing. I have to say that after several years, I feel like it's starting to mend, and it's starting to come together. And with Mr. Ubert coming on board, I'm pretty sure Monday he will come on board. I have not met the gentleman yet, but I do look forward to his leadership, and that will give the plant supervisor the opportunity to truly oversee all the operations outside administrative duties. So overall, I thought it was a great meeting. So that was There was no reportable action out of closed session. And so public comment was good. I think Ron Holt, I actually have to stand back and applaud him. He surprises me every time I talk to him as far as understanding the entire depth of the whole organization and its structure. So there's some good things on the horizon for the sanitation district. And on that note, I encourage people to attend and apply and to watch. And the meetings are live on the night of the meetings, which is the first and third Wednesday of the month. And you can go to AGP's website and watch the sanitation district live. So if you can't get out of the house, that's a good way to stay informed. And so I think that was the only other subcommittee I was able to attend. Anybody else have anything before I open it up for public comment? Okay. Anybody who would like to report on the items for 6A, B, or C? Yes.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and kind of in the order, good job, Tony and guys at the yard on Well 5. I did ask if it had somebody's blessing as you buried it. The Five Cities Fire Authority canceled their meeting in March, and then the agenda for this Friday looks pretty light. And in light of your conversation here a few 6 weeks ago, you talked about amendments to the Joint Powers Authority agreement. It seems to me that those conversations would be held at the Five Cities Fire Authority meetings, but it's not agendized that way. And last night, Arroyo Grande had a very lengthy, like 2.5 hour discussion about their concerns with the JPA. So I think, you know, there's an undercurrent. There's something going on that really all of you need to talk about. Mr. Ogren didn't have a report, but I wonder if he might report on tomorrow's Planning Commission item related to the emergency permit associated with the Arroyo Grande Creek. And then Ms. Lucy's report on the sanitation district, I attended for a portion of that time, and there was an item related to the warrants that they'd actually held a legal warrant from 2 weeks prior. I did a public records request and asked for a breakdown of that particular warrant. There was 18.9 hours of legal time spent on a personnel matter. It is my understanding that personnel matter came from Oceano CSD in some kind of complaint, and it had to do with Mr. Clemens coming to these meetings and speaking at this podium. And of course, he has the right to do so as a citizen of the United States. He happens to live in Oceano. But my concern is it's almost $3,000 or over $3,000 of legal fees associated with that complaint for the man's ability to come here. And all I've ever heard him do is invite you all to the plant. And I can only say, and I'll say it at much less price than $3,000, go there. Learn how the plant works. Learn what the money's being spent on. It's very important. You talk about recycled water, but you don't know how the water is treated now. Recycled water is a goal. But if you don't know how it works now, you certainly won't understand it later.
Thank you, Ms. Tackard. And just for the record, I can't speak for Ms. Angelo, but all of us have been to the sanitation district numerous times, but it really doesn't have anything. I can't see how it's relevant in Senton policy. So, have you been to the sanitation district? I've been to a couple barbecues. I think we're all very much familiar with.
Been there.
Yeah. So.
I think it was actually there when it was being built too.
But thank you for. paying attention, and, you know.
Madam President, I'm not aware of any personnel actions associated with the sanitation district that are originating out of Oceano CSD, so.
No. And I can't speak for the other board members, but I can say that it didn't come from the reps on the sanitation district, so. But also, too, is that I, you know, they do their stuff the way they do it. It's not our job to tell them how to do it. Okay. Rolling right along, consent items, which we're very fortunate that we don't live in other jurisdictions, because people who used to comment on consent items had that item pulled and put to the bottom of others' agendas, so it used to be a way of keeping things quiet, so, but we don't do that here, so. Anything on the consent agenda item that anybody wants to talk about? Ms. Thacker, do you have any public comment under this item? Does anybody else have any public comment that they'd like to print? Okay, then I'll entertain a motion to accept, unless you have something you'd like to.
I so move.
Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Consent.
I was going to say something. I was just going to suggest that in some way we let the community know about the fireworks if they haven't already. I don't know how we would do that.
Let them know what? That we... That
announcing that we're taking applications somehow.
Oh. Are we at that point, or is
yes.
that next meeting?
No, that's...
We just...
We put it on the website.
Oh, it is on
okay.
the website.
Okay. Fine. Thank
so,
you.
So, Oceano is accepting applications for nonprofits that want to do fireworks in Oceano. We do have a set amount. I think it's between 3 and 5 organizations. And so there aren't too much competition in town, which allows the nonprofit to gain from their efforts. Of course, fireworks are illegal in many, many communities, but please be aware of your local laws. But here in Oceano, you can buy them.
Safe and sane fireworks.
Oh, yeah. It's the safe and sane ones.
Safe and sane fireworks. And
the
I,
only way safe and sane.
And I suspect at some point in time in the near future, the Five Cities Fire Authority is going to investigate again the possibility of not allowing safe and sane fireworks sales. It's come up before.
15 years at least.
Well, it came up 3 or 4 years ago, too.
Yeah.
And
fire departments particularly don't like them.
Well, they find it very, very difficult to tell the difference, to control. When you have safe and sane fireworks and illegal fireworks going off, it's difficult to tell which is which. Anyway, I'll shut up.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, any public comment? Okay, hearing none, let's move on. Pavel, I think it's your stage now.
President Lucy, so I'm anticipating that we would take public comment on each of the business items. Item number 8A is consideration of a recommendation declaring certain items and equipment to be surplus and authorizing their disposal. The staff report identifies that there's a website that we can use, propertyroom.com, which is common for municipal organizations. The electronics we want to be able to provide to the exploration station after they've been wiped clean. The exploration center is a 501c3 in Grover Beach, and they help to rebuild the computers and
great program
despite their age. Wanted to, you know, normally this would kind of be a consent agenda item, but wanted to make sure that the board had the opportunity to provide us any other direction, and then we will report back to the board on the disposition of all of the items and whatever salvage values we got off of them. And those are the totalitarian. That's my comments for this particular item. Be glad to answer any questions.
I just have a quick question. So how could, not to complicate situations, but how could residents of Oceano, look at the items that are available and possibly say, well, I want this construction item or that construction item? How would they go about doing
that? Yeah, we can put it on our website as well. This item obviously is, all the items go on the website, but we'll make sure to have a special
So would you put on there, like, the price or, listing price or?
We still will work through those types of details.
Okay.
I would expect that some of the items that are not worthy of going on propertyroom.com, we'll have a little garage sale in the lot.
Oh, so they'll all be listed in?
No. We have. I do not anticipate that everything would go on the website. And some of the stuff, especially some miscellaneous items and stuff, we'll make sure to, if we have to have a, not a garage sale, a fire station sale or something.
Parking lot sale.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of the construction equipment. You know, we have a lot of construction workers, and I think some of the items could be of great value to some of the small businesses. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, certainly. So we'll do some outreach, too, for the community.
Okay, great. Thank you. So do you want us to entertain a motion for that? Do we need a resolution?
After public comment?
After public comment, of course. I never forget public comment.
Okay, this is one I've been looking for years.
This item?
Yes.
Please should have told us.
Because you have
put
so
it
much
on
old
earlier.
Crap.
It's stuck. Collectibles.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. Maybe you should look for some sort of tax deduction and donate the stuff to the museum. Because some of this stuff is really old.
He didn't wait years for that one.
Well, I've been coming here since 2009, and I've seen some.
Come on, it's only DOS.
So, actually, not those items. It's the reel-to-reel projector and then the VHS camera. Those are gems.
Maybe those are worth about $10 a piece.
Oh, probably not. You probably have to pay to have someone take them away.
I think the exploration center will take them for free.
I was thinking the depot might want them for the museum. But I am curious because this has been bothering me for some time. There was a television and a VCR, and there were 6 floral chairs, and those disappeared. And I don't think you own them anymore. And I understand that they were either given away or thrown away by Mr. Gieslin. And that's simply illegal. It's government property. And there's a process and a procedure. And that's what I've been looking for. And thank you, Pavo, for finally bringing it forward. But those items had some value, whatever it is, and your community paid for them, and then somebody took them home or took them to the dump without marking them off your inventory.
Right. Okay, well, we'll keep our eye out for a 1978 TV with the big bulb. I think it was a 17-inch. And
I've seen no floral chairs here since I've been on board.
And a VHS machine running the streets.
I do not. No, I do not. No, Jeff, you have not been to my family room. No, and you will never be there.
Never see it there.
But the cart that the TV was on is what I really wanted. So, but you're actually absolutely right, Julie. We did have, the cart's still here. That's the most valuable piece. Okay. So, but we're not going to let that stuff happen again in the past. In the future, excuse me. But Mr. Ogren has done an excellent job on cleaning her up.
On delegating to Nicole.
Okay. Oh, no, the TV is here.
No, that's a monitor.
That's a monitor.
This back here? That's Mr. Ogren, can you look at Exhibit B on page 7 of 15? The third screen back, it actually looks like a TV. There's an IBM in the front. There was a black one next to it, and then there's a big, larger, look right here. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a TV? Yeah. TV Angelo?
I don't know. It could be a monitor.
Okay. We'll keep an eye out. But I think it might be a TV.
I know we donated some years ago, but...
A4 is a TV.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so oh, those ghastly flower chairs, right? That's right. You know, you're absolutely right. The chairs, I don't think we're going to have much luck finding those, but they were there. And then the VCR. So, but the TV's been found.
I didn't go check in the fire staff's living quarters. The floral chairs could be in. I'll check on that tomorrow.
Really?
Who knows?
Six of them. It's
pretty tight, yeah.
Well, the kitchen table. But also, Mr. Ogren, on the bottom of the cord box. Oh, it probably isn't a VCR, but. But anyway. Very good point, Ms. Tacker. Thank you very much.
I would like to make a motion that we approve a resolution declaring certain items and equipment to be surplus and authorized disposal.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Us. Aye. Opposed? Abstain? It passes.
We have to have a roll call.
Oh, roll call on this one.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay, it passes 3-0. Thank you for giving staff that direction for that equipment. Okay, so moving right along.
Madam President, item 8B, review and discussion of April 13, 2016 equipment replacement analysis. This particular item is not an action item. I had indicated that in the first meetings of the month, for the next couple of months, I was going to be addressing some district needs that we're either going to have to figure out how to work into the budget or maybe unfunded. And so what this analysis is a 15-year projection on replacing existing equipment. The analysis itself indicates that on an average annual basis, we should be setting aside $28,000 a year for equipment replacement. That, you know, given a total equipment pool of approximately $500,000, the $28,000 a year is certainly well within reason. Because we don't really have any equipment replacement reserves today, had we had equipment replacement reserves started from the beginning, I projected we should have targeted about $375,000. If we did, then our annual contribution would have to be about $8,800 a year. So scenario C shows another sort of a halfway between the $28,000 a year versus the $375,000 in the bank and $8,800 a year. In a scenario that with annualized normal contributions of $8,800 a year, then we would have some extra funding that we would have to program in over the next 7 years. And that extra funding would range from numbers that are in $80,000 a year to lows of $6,000 a year or so. And so the purpose of this analysis was to capture what our equipment pool is, including small dollar items like weed whackers, and to really then provide us a good analysis on which we use in more moving forward in our budget analysis. And Tony and the guys helped with the creation of the list and estimates on current replacement value. A last noteworthy thing is that what we would like to be able to do, although it's several years out, is to be able to get a service truck. And so a service truck is a fully equipped truck. As opposed to, we have pickups trucks right now, we've got the dump truck, and it would be nice to augment it with a service truck so that our rolling stock in the future would essentially be one pickup truck, one service truck, and then the dump truck. And on that service truck, it would have the generator capabilities and would have pneumatic so that we wouldn't have to have a trailer with a jackhammer or hydraulic units or anything else in it. But again, that replacement is several years off, and we're simply going to need to work through the budget each year to try to establish the equipment replacement reserves. If we get into any tight binds, then probably we'd be looking at funding similar to how we did the dump truck, which is to make a partial down payment and then look to a leasing company in order to help finance. But again, building the analysis for districts' unfunded costs, this equipment replacement program is one of them. No action items, but I'd be glad to answer any questions on it.
Okay. Karen, do you have any questions?
No.
Lorraine?
These costs are here that total the $519,400 is what we're looking at for replacement.
Yeah, that's the current replacement value of all of our equipment. And then the $468,000assumes we will not replace all of that equipment.
Okay.
So if, for example, we would not replace items that add up to about $130,000, and instead pursue the service truck, which would cost about $80,000.
Okay. I'm good.
A little bit of downsizing in the future that makes sense based on the nature of our operations.
Okay. Does anybody else have any discussions on item C? And I'll take public comment at this time. Correct, Mr. Oaken?
Yep.
Julie?
Really more a question of the process that you're going through with this first of the month looking at another item. Last month it was the sewer laterals, $13 million some dollars. This is another $500,000. There's about 8 more items that you're going to be looking at that all have numbers attached. When we get to the end of that and we have millions of dollars to fund over the life of these items or these projects, whatever they are, what's your community in for? Because there's no new money until you do a rate increase that covers these things. And I remember with the sewer lateral discussion, Mr. Guerrero picked a $5 a month per household number out of the air, or some back of the envelope calculation, that it seemed reasonable to set aside this kind of self-insurance for that item. But when we get there, this is going to be a huge discussion, a huge rate increase. And so I think maybe that list should accompany each of these staff reports, and sort of we keep track as it unfolds.
Well, I think that having the three options is great, and this has been vetted through the Finance Committee numerous times. No?
Nope.
But I know that you've worked.
No, in addressing the issue, so far, what we're really addressing here is items up front here that are relatively smaller dollar items in comparison to our budget. It's clear that the big ticket item is really our pipeline replacement projects and the bigger capital improvement project that's necessary. We've already obtained some grant funding in order to move forward with that. And through Proposition 1, there's some specific grant funding that's going to be available only to us through as a disadvantaged community. And so that's going to help move that forward as well. But even some of these equipment items that we're talking about, obviously in our current year budget, we have some funding for equipment replacement. So the question is going to be how much can be covered by the existing revenue stream versus how much might there might be an impact on new revenues, need for new revenues. So some of that is still to be determined. Obviously, it's the board discretion on priorities and to what extent do we need to fund some of these items. But the big item still is going to be the replacement of pipes. And we've got a lot of pipes that need to be replaced. We have 2-inch lines that are still in the ground from the 1950s, which have just got to be leaking like crazy. So the benefit of Prop 1 is that, again, strategy number one is to try to obtain as much grant revenue as possible to reduce any fiscal impacts locally. As a side note, with the development of the CHC, the Community Health Center project, they are on the cusp of getting their permit from the county, and they will be doing some upgrades of 2-inch lines that we have into 8-inch lines. So that's been fortuitous as well. Also, some of the funding for capital improvements is we collect the connection fee money from new development, and with the rate increase last year, targeting for operations and maintenance purposes, the strategy is to be able to take that connection fee money and set it aside for our capital improvement program. Conservation has been greater than what we anticipated, and so we do have a little bit of a revenue shortfall that we'll be analyzing a little bit more. There's a lot of different variables that are to come in play, but I certainly think it's a little bit premature to speculate on the magnitude of a rate increase that might be necessary. Certainly we should anticipate that some sort of a rate increase would be necessary. But one of the strategies that your board discussed in relation to last year's actions to raise rates and to establish the water conservation-oriented rates is that the goal was to try to get through the drought so that the post-conservation rates could come back down and then address the longer-term issues so that the community didn't get doubled up with having to deal with the drought and long-term CIP efforts as well. So again, right now what we're doing is just trying to analyze each item as it comes along. The next agenda item is as well another one that we need to address in terms of funding. And it will be several months and through the course of 2016 as we start to produce the numbers, and then the cumulative analysis of all this stuff put together will be much later in the current calendar year.
Okay, great. No, I saw it pretty much the same way, is that it was a small contribution into an extremely important reserve. I mean, we can't do it with, we don't keep our equipment up to date, and we've seen what's happened by losing those reserves and using them for other things that unfortunately we have to use 20-year-old equipment because things were used. So I'm on the same page with you.
And so it is preferable to be able to develop a program where we have the money in the bank in order to buy equipment when it's replaced, as opposed to having to borrow money and pay interest.
Right.
But again, both are still options in the future.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending the time on doing that too and starting the whole process of thinking about our reserves, and not just one, but the down the road and the more. So keep going.
Okay, so the final discussion item today is item 8C. And this one has a couple of recommendations, specifically to reclassify the real property, which is the sheriff station, from an asset of the water fund and the sewer funds to an asset of the governmental fund. And then there is a corollary reclassification of the sheriff's fund, the original construction funding, as interfund debt, and then some discussion of the district's other interfund debt and some board direction on those. This item itself was a very time-consuming item to put together. It required a lot of research into historical costs dating back to 2002. And I also should note right up front that if your board approves the specific recommendations today, then I will be working with the district auditor for their review. Some of the numbers would be subject to change when review of the audit, but not anything that I would expect to be significantly different from the analysis that's contained in here. What I've done is put together a PowerPoint presentation to walk through. There's about 10 slides in order to walk through the fiscal analysis. And before jumping into it, what I found to be good news is that the overall fiscal impact of solving some problems that really need to be solved were not as significant when it all came down to it at the sort of the bottom line basis as what I thought the significance of this item could be far greater than what it ended up being. So to start off with the sheriff building, the funding of it originally established a couple of objectives. Three, to determine whether the water fund and sewer fund are being repaid in a timely manner, because the water fund and the sewer fund essentially provided the financing for the original construction of the sheriff building in 2002. Is the water fund and sewer fund, are they getting their money back on a timely basis? Second objective is the need to determine whether the accounting for the sheriff building as it's currently is a preferred methodology. So in financial reporting from an accounting perspective, we often refer to as principles, generally accepted accounting principles and governmental principles. So there's multiple different ways that items might be reported for. Historically, the sheriff building has essentially been treated as a joint venture between the water fund and the sewer fund. Is that the preferred methodology or not? And then third is need to determine whether any corrective action is needed. Secondly, on interfund transfers, a few objectives as well. Need to determine how interfund transfers will be repaid, because the water fund owes the governmental fund some money, and the water fund also owes the garbage fund some money. And we all know that this occurred in years past because the water fund did not have sufficient money to cover its operational cost. An objective is, should interest be charged on these interfund debts? And another one is, can the water fund be relieved of the interfund debt? And on that last point, the water fund owes the governmental fund some money, and your governmental fund resources are really available for any district purpose. So the ability to relieve the water fund of money that it owes to the governmental fund is true. However, on the garbage fund, since that's an enterprise fund, the water fund has to repay that garbage fund debt. And I'll delve into that again in some more detail as I move forward here. So a little bit of history since 2002/2010, and the reason why I have a slash up there is because the sheriff's building was completed in 2002. The 30% funded by the water fund was $397,000 plus, and the amount funded from the sewer was $927,000 plus. And that was a 30%, 70% split. And what's happened since 2002 is the net annual lease revenues also go to the water fund and the sewer fund in that 30-70 split. That's the idea that it's been sort of treated as a joint venture. Whatever their percentage contributions are the percentages of the net lease revenues that come back to them. What I didn't do, well, and then starting in 2010-11, I traced back all of the transactions that matched up to the financial statements. So that I looked at all the audited financial statements and made sure that I covered everything that traces to the current balances owed by the water fund to the governmental fund and the garbage fund. And from 2010 through 2014, there was really a significant number of interfund transfers. They went to sewer fund, garbage fund, and back and forth. And I was able to trace that everything on the financial statements was paid off, with the exception of those two debts from the water fund to the governmental and to the garbage funds. The idea that most of them were paid off other than those two is a good thing. The idea that there was that level of interfund transfers, generally speaking, is not a good thing, because it means that each fund, water, sewer, garbage, governmental fund, should really be able to stand on its own. And clearly there was a period of time there for 4 years that was not the case. So we've moved forward from that point, and we've got the different funds to balance themselves, but there's some makeup work to do. Now, moving specifically into the sheriff's fund then, again, I show the original 2002 contributions, which added up to about $1.3 million, and then the amount as of July 1st, 2014, that was still unpaid from the water, one paid due to the water fund or due to the sewer fund. And those total about $873,000. The reason I picked July 1, 2014 as the date is because that's the beginning of the period that's still under audit. So all the work with the auditor then will be reflected in the financial statements for the 14-15 year. If the recommendations are approved by the board, then there's going to be significant disclosures in the financial statements on the changes that have been made. In any case, what we see is 2002 contributions of $1.3 million and $873,000 has yet to be repaid to the water fund and sewer fund. And in some of these subsequent slides, what I'll be showing is that the 2002 plan that was developed has not been working. But we do have solutions for it. So in 2002, based on the debt amortization schedules that had been developed at that time and the lease agreement with the county that had all of the lease payments from the county been dedicated 100% to the water, 100% with the split of 30% to the water fund and 70% to the sewer fund, then at the end of that 20-year term, the water fund would have been repaid with interest at 6% for all but about $43, and the sewer fund would have been repaid after the 20 years with 6% interest, but all for about $100. And that difference really is simple to explain. The amortization schedules that are attached had indicated it would be $9,495 and 13 cents that the county would be owing the district. That was rounded out to $9,495 and 0 cents. So that 13 cent difference over a 20-year period is what makes results in the $42 and $100, pretty minor. But what wasn't taken into account was that those numbers were based on the gross lease payments, and the district has had the responsibility, as any landlord does, or any lessor does, of, you know, the major repairs associated with the facilities. In addition, a few years ago, administrative cost allocations started being allocated to the sheriff's building on a different ratio than previously. And so out of those lease payments, there's been more expenses that have been charged. And as a result, the analysis indicates that after the 20-year initial lease with the sheriff, the water fund would still be unpaid by $175,000 and the sewer fund would be unpaid by $409,000. So those are significant dollars, and again, we have solutions for that that I'll be speaking about in subsequent slides. But that's one of the primary reasons why I do not like the methodology of accounting that has been occurring since 2002 and why I've brought it up to the district auditor. Because since 2002, that methodology of treating it like a joint venture of the Water and Sewer Fund has not tracked at all what the repayments has occurred. So that was a big part of the analysis that I had to do. And again, these numbers themselves, to be that far off of the original plan, are pretty significant. Hold that thought for a second, because again, we have some solutions here. Now I'm going to move over. That's the sheriff's building. Now moving back to the interfund debt, the water fund owes the governmental fund $772,000, and the water fund is due to the garbage fund is $60,149. Now those numbers may also change a little bit depending on what board direction you want to provide with regard to past interest charges. I think that the water fund due to the garbage fund needs to go up a little bit because there's been no interest accrued on that number. It hasn't been out there for very many years. It's not going to be a big dollar amount, but interest should still be accrued on the amount owed to the garbage fund. In terms of the governmental fund liability, it's really your board's discretion as to whether or not you charge interest there or not. But these are the numbers that trace back to the audits. They're very clear. Of a total of $833,000 of a water fund obligation to governmental and garbage. Because the water fund owes the governmental fund some money here, and yet the water fund also helped finance the sheriff's building, and so the governmental fund owes the water fund, we have the ability to offset some of those. And that's what this, the table, then shows. It shows all four items, the balances on all four, with the water fund owing the governmental fund on that interfund transfers for $772,000, the garbage fund for $60,000 and change, and then the water fund is supposed to get back for unreimbursed construction costs $262,000, and the sewer fund is supposed to get back its $611,000. The reclassification recommendation then would take the $262,000 that the government fund owes the water fund for the sheriff building and offsets some of the debt that the water fund owes back to the governmental fund. And you can see that where then the water fund's net amount due to the garbage to the governmental fund is $510,907. The balance owed to the garbage fund stays the same at $60,149. The reclassification would wipe out the money that the governmental fund owes back to the water fund for the sheriff's building. And, of course, the unreimbursed sewer fund money would stay at $611,404. That is the offsets that means then that the $510,000 that the water fund still owes to the governmental fund, how would we take care of that? How would we take care of the garbage? And, again, the unreimbursed sewer fund money. So this is step one as the reclassification. Now, the benefit of the reclassification and the offsetting of these debts is that future lease revenues then can go 100% to the sewer fund because the water fund has already been paid off. And so that deficit that we previously saw in comparison to the 2002 plan, we can accelerate payments to the sewer fund. And this then shows what the results would be. So in a previous slide, I showed that a current estimate of how much the water fund would be due after the 20-year lease would be $175,000, and how much the sewer fund would be due would be $409,000. Well, the reclassification and that offsetting of those debts would mean that the water fund is paid off. There is zero that would be due after the 20 years. And with the accelerated lease payments then for the sewer fund, the projection would be that the sewer fund's unreimbursed amount after 20 years would drop from $409,000 to $160,000. So at the end of that initial 20-year term, the sewer fund would still be unreimbursed for $160,000, but significantly less than the $409,000 that was the initial dollar amount that we were working with. So then part two of the solution becomes, how is it that since the water fund owes the governmental fund $510,000, how do we develop an amortization schedule so that as the water fund is paying back the governmental fund, the governmental fund now has revenues to pay back the sewer fund of this remaining $160,000? And what that chart shows is I ran a couple of different amortization schedules, but in terms of the impact on the annual budget and the water fund needing to pay back that $510,000, it's just over $30,000 a year that it needs to pay back its $510,000. Because then if the governmental fund gets that $30,000+ a year, it can pay back the sewer fund the money that it needs to be, and the sewer fund is 100% repaid at the end of the 20-year lease with the county for the sheriff's building. There's a couple of really big side benefits on that. And this occurs in 2022. When that happens in 2022, all future lease revenues then will stay in the governmental fund, and they will be available for any district purpose. The biggest district purpose that we're struggling with funding is, of course, emergency services and fire operations. So that revenue won't be available until 2022. It's about 6 years off, but that will still be a good significant source of revenues for the governmental fund, which the board at that point in time will have discretion as to how to allocate that. Also in 2022, if the water fund continues to pay back the governmental fund, then there will be, $30,000 plus a year in order to also augment governmental fund revenues as as the board deems appropriate at that time. Our total property tax revenue right now that goes into the governmental fund is about $900,000 a year. So in 2022, another $130,000 a year, roughly, is going to be a significant augmentation to the governmental fund revenues. Again, 6 years off, but it's going to be good news. There's things we need to do today just to get the district's accountability back on track. By getting the district's accountability back on track today, there will be significant financial benefits in years to come. So focusing on the upper portion of this chart and the water fund repayment to the governmental fund, each example shows principal repayment of $510,000. And then what I did is I showed a few different interest rates, 0%, 4, 5, and 6. Picked the 6% because that's the percentage that we use for the construction of the sheriff's building. Your board has on this particular option the ability to say 0% interest. If that's the case, then it would take 16.2 years to repay. If you go with 4%, it takes 26 years, 5%, 33 years, 6% takes 60 years. Those 60 years is a pretty long period of time to repay a debt. And given market rates today, I don't think 6% would really be appropriate. But again, I used it because that was the assumption back in 2002 in the construction funding for the sheriff's building. One of the options that you have is you can direct me to use a variable approach, and that is whatever interest rate we're earning on our investments is the interest rate that the water fund is going to be charged. And that's a fairly common practice on interfund borrowings for local agencies. You could use the local agency investment fund rate of return, because by using the interest rates that we would otherwise earn on our investments, that's essentially an opportunity cost evaluation. So I would be looking for some feedback from your board on the interest rate there. And the point being is that the interest rate really determines how long it's going to take the water fund to pay back the governmental fund. I think the bottom line budgetary impacts of just over $30,000 a year, and when on the lower portion of the schedule we add in the repayment to the garbage fund, those two total are going to be about $40,000 per year. And in my earlier comments, when I had indicated that the financial impact of this analysis was not as bad as I thought it might be going into the analysis, well, the water fund owes $833,000 when I started. And to be able to do the reclassification and to be able to set up amortization schedules where it's costing the water fund about $40,000 a year to repay its debt, that's a pretty good result. And again, part of it is because of, you know, money went back and forth between the water fund and the governmental fund, and it's appropriate to offset some of that debt. But on the bottom portion, the water fund repayment to the garbage fund, the biggest determinant there between annual budgetary impacts of around $13,000 a year versus budgetary impacts of about $8,000 plus or minus per year is really whether or not that's paid off over 5 years or whether it's paid off over 10 years. My general recommendation is to do a 10-year payback because the water fund budget, you know, we have a lot of unmet needs in the water fund budget, and so that just helps in helping us balance the budget every year. The discretion of 4, 5, and 6% were a couple of different examples I put out there. But again, the board direction could be to work on an index like the local agency investment fund or to use the actual interest earnings that we've been making on our investments. And that would be appropriate, and it would bring down the annual budgetary impacts even further. So in summary and conclusion, on the sheriff's budget, reclassifying the asset is preferable because the facility is not used in either water or sewer operations. Again, as a joint venture, that asset is being shown in the water fund, it's being shown in the sewer fund, but it's simply not a water fund asset, it's not a sewer fund asset. And establishing the interfund debt schedules is going to improve the accountability of the district's fiscal activities and the interfund activities. The second portion of the summary and conclusions then is on that other interfund debt, which totaled $833,000. The water fund repayment to the governmental fund will help ensure that the sewer fund is repaid for the sheriff's building in a timely manner meeting one of those primary objectives. And the water fund repayment to the garbage fund will further ensure district accountability. So again, to summarize the recommendations today, I do recommend the reclassification of the real property, the sheriff's building, from a water fund and sewer fund asset to the facilities fund as a governmental fund asset, and to approve the reclassification of the funding utilized to construct the sheriff's building as interfund debt. And then recommendations 3 and 4 is simply to get some direction or feedback from your board on possible interest rates. Items 3 and 4, we can also look at scenarios when we come back and talking about next year's budget. But that concludes my presentation, and I'd be glad to answer questions.
Karen, do you have any questions this time?
Well, I had some before I started talking, but I understand everything now.
Mm-hmm. Lori?
No, it sounds good to me. It's great.
Well, I think it's great. Just on the maintenance of the sheriff's department, would that what percentage would come from the 70, the water fund, and what percentage would come since they'd be already merged into the general fund?
Yeah. So if recommendations are approved, then the lease payments, and then after subtracting out whatever the maintenance costs are, then those net lease payments would be used 100%. To repay the sewer fund.
Okay. So how much do we need to set aside for maintenance of the sheriff's department?
So that is an item that we'll address in the budget.
Okay.
And it's one of the... So, again, this is a good analysis for overall direction, but every year when we look at the budget, we're going to have to make some adjustments.
Okay. And then, after 2022, mm-hmm. Then the board will determine how the revenue from the sheriff's department will be divided amongst...
How to utilize it for any district purpose. That's right.
Okay. Including reserve accounts.
Correct.
Okay.
And at that point in 2022 as well, whatever the remaining balance that the water fund owes to the governmental fund, the board could waive that debt in the future as well. That's simply a discretion. Theory, you could do it today, but then how does the sewer fund get repaid?
Right.
Right? So yeah. I would not recommend doing that.
I'd like to play this one out and see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's certain decisions that can be made today that are prudent and appropriate for planning for the future, but there's still some decisions that whoever is sitting as the board of directors in 2022 will be making at that time.
Great. Well, kudos to you for figuring that one out, because I was quite baffled. At this time, we'll take Julie Tucker, public comment period. Sorry, I was going to say.
Just rename it on there then.
I was going to, but I thought that might be taken wrong.
I am Julie Tucker, and this phrase was used in a different district, bowl of spaghetti. I know Pavo knows what I'm talking about. You unraveled a bowl of spaghetti. Very good work.
Is that kind of like a needle in a haystack?
Similar, yeah. Some of the questions I have is, when you borrowed this money, and you guys were all on the board when this happened, I recall, and I could be wrong, that Mr. Minery wrote a resolution for the interfund transfer, and that you adopted an interest rate of 3.25%. Oh yeah, Mary.
I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Yeah, I know.
We going through
this exercise. So there was an interest rate adopted, and I objected to that high of a rate at the time. I thought you could do it for 0 or 1%. And then you budgeted for the next year and the following year, I think it was $40,000 a year. And as I recall, those payments were not ever made. So maybe there's a little side order of spaghetti that still needs to be unraveled. But that's my recollection of how that went down. And Pavo, you talked about the audit. And usually we see, well, when an agency's running okay, we see those come out November at the latest, December at the latest, and this is April. And so, you know, I can see that you're doing this for that audit, but I'm kind of curious why we're all the way in April and that this couldn't have been done sooner. And then with regard to moving the property to the governmental fund, it simply raises a question in my mind about your other properties and the fire stations, the two fire stations, and perhaps maybe those should be in the governmental fund as well. It's just an idea. So that all revenues and it just so that it's all in one place and you're doing it uniformly throughout the district. Thanks.
Please refresh my memory. I don't remember doing the
So yes, exercise. Actually, there in reviewing the historical records, there was both actions that were proposed but not approved. There was actions that were approved and then subsequently rescinded. So there was a number of different. So for example, prior district accountant had brought forward recommendations on interfund repayment that did not get approved, had brought forth recommendations for the reclassifications of the assets that did get approved, but then were subsequently rescinded.
Okay.
And I did review that as well as some of the 2002. And it's hard to conclude based on reading the written record why the reclassification was approved and then rescinded, but I'm inclined to believe it was rescinded because it did not include the interfund analysis that I've included. And the idea with the reclassification, you move the asset, you have to also do something with the liability that exists. So I think the prior district accountant was on the right track, but just didn't do everything that was necessary. And I'm speculating, but I'm guessing that then subsequently recognized that something wasn't quite done and then had it rescinded. But I looked at all of that. The important point here is that this analysis just simply provides a clean slate in moving forward.
Okay.
With regard to the timing of the audit itself, this is not the only spaghetti bowl that I'm working through. There are a lot of details that I've been working through in order to just, I mean, there's
okay.
Transactions were dating back to 2013. And granted, a lot of those are very small dollar items. But when payroll shows a certain dollar amount that's going to be paid to CalPERS, and then the actual amount that was paid to CalPERS is different, we have to go through and we have to reconcile everything. Celia's been doing a lot of really good research on transactions that date back quite some time. And so this is the big dollar amount. Those other ones, I think that, you know, that's just a simply of doing a lot of cleanup work and making sure to show the auditor. Certainly, I have had discussions with the county auditor because I am concerned about the timing of our audit work. Point being is we're going to work through all of these details to make sure that when the audit done, it is a nice, clean slate. We know that the district went a few years without, you know, having an audit done. When there is a three-year catch-up that had to be done, there's a certain amount of imprecision that's associated with that type of a catch-up. And so what we're doing right now is we're catching all the little details. It's taken us a while, but we'll get her done. And I think that, I think that addressed all of the comments.
Great. Interest rate.
Pardon me?
You had asked us for
interest rate feedback, yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, you said the local agency investment fund.
Correct.
Would that be a good interest rate to tie to?
I think so.
You recommend it.
Yeah, because it's a, you know, for us to go back and for me to go back and trace what was our actual interest earnings, you know, back in time for every quarter, that's going to be a pretty time-consuming task that I don't think it's going to be a benefit. To use a published index like Local Agency Investment Fund is going to get us a reasonable number.
I would recommend that. I don't know if you need any action on that specifically.
No, I can take that as a general direction for when we start working on the budget and working through with the auditor and, and putting final numbers to this.
Okay. Do we have any more questions on this? Mr. Ogun, do you have anything you'd like to
No,
add?
The only other thing, the recommendation would simply a motion to approve staff recommendations on items 1 and 2.
I make a motion we approve staff recommendations on item 1 and 2.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? Does it need to be a roll call? Is there going to be a resolution?
No.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Passes? Thank you very much for that work. I feel much better that it's in the right place and the water and sewer funds are being paid back appropriately, and the people of Oceano have an investment in the future that will bring in revenue to sustain some of the operations, which is the development of that facility. So good use of our dollar funds. Too bad the formula didn't work out.
Well, you know, it should be added that even though I think there's a better way of making sure there's accountability on the construction of the sheriff's building and straighten that situation out.
Yes.
The construction of the sheriff's building and the decision to do that, I think, was extremely good. You know, not only does it provide the sheriff with a good facility, we have law enforcement in our presence. Ultimately, it's a good additional asset to the CSD as
Most
well.
Most definitely.
It was a good decision.
Yeah. So, on that note, that's it.
We get to move forward to closed session.
Okay. Can we do public comment on, let's just back up a second. I'm sorry. Received written communication. Anybody write anything? Anybody receive anything?
Nope.
Okay. And then we'll do public comment on closed session. Okay. Hearing none, we're going to take a...
Adjourn to closed session?
Wait a minute. Thanks, Julie. Mr. Minery is going to announce what we're going to do, and then we're going to take a 3-minute break before we go into closed session.
Okay. All right. The board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A, conference with legal counsel regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus the City of Santa Maria et al.
Thank you. Session. Do we have any reportable items?
There is no reportable action out of closed session.
No side discussions, no secrets, nothing, huh? Darn it. Okay.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good night, everybody.
Oh. Secrets. So,
that the oil was seeping back into the ground.